Now, a day after a pro-Trump mob stormed the Capitol as Congress was counting the electoral ballots to confirm President-elect Joe Biden's victory, many Democrats are calling for President Trump to be removed from office. In a statement, Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer said the violence was incited by Trump. His comments were echoed by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
I joined the Senate Democratic leader in calling on the vice president to remove this president by immediately invoking the 25th Amendment. If the vice president and the cabinet do not act, the Congress may be prepared to move forward with impeachment.
Meanwhile, Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao says she will resign from her post a couple weeks ahead of schedule. Former White House Chief of Staff and Special Envoy now to Northern Ireland, Mick Mulvaney, said he was stepping down, as did some other administration staffers. After Congress ultimately certified Biden's win, Trump pledged an orderly transfer of power on January 20th, Inauguration Day. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see happen next? How much responsibility do you see the president having for what happened yesterday? Do you want to see him removed from office or impeached before Inauguration Day? If you supported Trump, are you still with him today? Are you concerned about the final 2 weeks of the Trump presidency? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Susan Johnson is an associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater. Susan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Susan, big picture, your reaction to what we saw yesterday.
Wow, it was sad. It was appalling, shocking. I mean, it was all kinds of things. I think that most people who were watching it unfold would have a combination of those kinds of emotions. I mean, seeing the destruction at the Capitol, you know, was heartbreaking in many ways. And just the idea of the disrespect that was being shown for the Capitol was, you know, appalling. And then I think, you know, people were genuinely afraid. The more accounts that I read after the fact of people who were involved, it was a scary, scary situation.
And now we just heard the House Speaker. She was joining the Senate, currently minority leader, in calling for the president to be removed via the 25th Amendment. We've seen a couple of Republicans in the House echo those calls. One of the president's former chiefs of staff said, Jim Kelly said if he was on the cabinet, he would vote to remove the president via the 25th Amendment. Can you talk about that mechanism for the removal of a president? Easier said than done in many ways.
Sure. I'm guessing that the 25th Amendment is one of the most frequently Googled items today, if we looked at the analytics. The 25th Amendment was first came up as an idea during the Eisenhower administration by President Eisenhower, looking at issues of presidential succession, particularly in cases of presidential incapacitation. It didn't get passed and ratified until after President Kennedy was assassinated. But there's four parts to it. The relevant part when people talk now about invoking the 25th Amendment is Section 4, which has never been invoked. And that is when the vice president and a majority of the cabinet can move to remove the president from office due to certain incapacitation. And so that's what Minority Leader Schumer and Speaker Pelosi and a small number of Republicans, many Democrats, are calling on Vice President Pence to do with the cabinet at this point.
Now, we're seeing a reaction from some Republicans, maybe not going quite that far, but longtime allies, including Lindsey Graham, Senator from South Carolina, distancing themselves from the president in his last days in office. I want to give a listen to Senator Graham as he voted to certify the election against a couple of the state challenges. Here's a listen to Lindsey Graham late last night.
Trump and I, we've had a hell of a journey. I hate it being this way. Oh, my God, I hate it. From my point of view, he's been a consequential president. But today, first thing you'll see, all I can say is count me out. Enough is enough. I've tried to be helpful.
And we see our own Corinne Hess reports the longtime Republican mayor of Waukesha, Sean Riley, put this on Facebook, quoting, "This will possibly be the cause of the end of my political career, but I have to put this out because I'm so upset. I am ashamed that I was a member of the Republican Party, and I do not know how I can ever be a member again. Susan, the reaction from Republicans to the last day's events, what do you make of it? A wide range of reaction.
It's very much a wide range of reactions. And there have been other Republicans who have come forward very, very strongly in their condemnation of the actions, including members of the Wisconsin congressional delegation and members of other political leaders in Wisconsin. And there have been some, I would say someone like Adam Kinzinger, who is a Republican member of Congress from Illinois. He's been a vocal Trump critic, and of the Republicans' office holders in Congress, for example, that I've heard, his has been the strongest statements that have come out as far as actually invoking the 25th Amendment. And there have been a few way to the other end who have, not come out and done anything, or I read very recently that Steve Scalise, who is the one of the top-ranking members in the House Republican leadership, was even as of yesterday speaking perhaps that it wasn't Trump supporters who did this in the Capitol. So, I mean, there's a range of reactions, but for the most part, I would say the majority of Republicans have come out very strongly against the violence, without a doubt. It's whether or not they're blaming the president or asking the president to hold himself responsible for inciting the mob action at the Capitol, which is where we see a lot of different distinctions.
I wanted to bring up that issue of the misinformation out there. I mean, misinformation is a lot of what led up to yesterday. False claims about what the vice president could do. False claims, of course, about the outcome of the election itself. And within minutes or hours, we had the claims of effectively a false flag operation here. Some on the floor of Congress said this, echoed by a lot of media outlets of dubious provenance. Some stories have come out and then been debunked quickly. The people that are being identified as being in the Capitol are longtime bloggers or YouTubers or whatever with white nationalist affiliations, QAnon, whatever they are, affiliations. But the misinformation spreads so quickly, Susan, within a day of this event. How damaging is this?
It's very damaging, and it just speaks to perpetuate a lot of these problems. And I was going to use the same example that you just gave in your when you were asking me the question. Many of the people whose pictures we have seen all over the internet and all over television are people that are very well known in the pro-Trump circles. There are also people who were in the Capitol who are elected Republican officials. There's a Republican elected from the West Virginia state legislature who was live tweeting or live Facebooking his entry into the Capitol. So, I mean, I think it's ridiculous, frankly, to suggest that these were anything but very hardcore supporters of the president, and not Antifa or any of the other groups that they're now coming out and suggesting might have been involved.
Talking to Susan Johnson from UW-Whitewater, looking at yesterday's events at the Capitol and what comes next. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Shelley is with us in Madison. Shelley, hi.
Hi, thank you. My question is about if indeed Trump continues to be in power for even 13 days, what are the risks of leaks of sensitive information to people who are not allies of the United States?
Shelley, thanks for the call. Shelley, worried about President Trump and guarding national security information in the last days in office, Susan?
And I think that Shelley has an important question, and there are a lot of people in the national security apparatus, in the military and other places, that are concerned about what actions President Trump still might take. He still is the president. He still has authority to do different things. There were some speculation last night that the acting national security advisor was considering resigning as well. He has chosen not to, and some have speculated it's because he doesn't want to leave that position vacant for whatever it would be worth for him to remain. But I think a lot of people have a lot of concerns about what potentially could be done in the next week and a half or so until President-elect Biden is inaugurated.
Thanks for that call. We'll go now to Lindsay calling from Madison. Lindsay, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I wanted to before we even made any decisions on whether the 20th Amendment should be revoked or anything like that, I'm wondering about the security piece of it, since that seemed to be so different than what we had seen in the summer. And this discussion wouldn't even be to this level if there wasn't actually a breach. And then that brings concerns then on, you know, when you have such an emotional speech that was given by President Trump that day, Mike Pence called out by name, people were directed towards the Capitol, and then there was actually a breach, even though all of that seemed to be foreseen. What does that mean for inauguration? What does that mean for the safety of Mike Pence or President-elect Biden, Kamala Harris? If there is such a change in the security level that seems to have dumbfounded so many law enforcement officers that have been interviewed about it as well since then.
Lindsay, thanks a lot for the call. And Susan, I've seen some of the people on conservative social media sites who had instigated to, yesterday's events saying, yeah, we're going to come back for inauguration, but better armed. What kind of concerns do you share Lindsay's concerns?
I do. And the one thing that is being done immediately is a non-scalable fence is being built, put up around the Capitol. And so that's a visible deterrent. And long term, there are going to be people are going to lose their jobs insofar as the Capitol Police and their reaction or lack of reaction. I mean, there's images of at least one Capitol Police officer taking a selfie with one of the people who were, breaching security and walking through the Capitol. So there's going to be long term issues that are going to be dealt with into the Biden administration for sure, and Congress will have to evaluate. And then we have short-term things like this fence, but then we also have the inauguration, which is coming up very quickly, and issues of safety and security. And my assumption is that the city of Washington, D.C. is going to be on lockdown, and it's going to remain on lockdown to whatever extent possible. And the security level at the inauguration, which because of COVID is going to be a very small affair, and I would say thankfully the security level is going to be like probably nothing we've ever seen.
Thanks for that call. We're looking at the fallout from yesterday's pro-Trump mob at the U.S. Capitol with Susan Johnson, political scientist at UW-Whitewater. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your reactions and your questions. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're looking at the events at the U.S. Capitol yesterday with Susan Johnson, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater, taking your questions, thoughts, reactions at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Sam is with us in Wisconsin Rapids. Sam, hello.
Hi. So I was really disappointed with the riots yesterday and just how much damage was being done to the Capitol and also to, putting people's lives in danger like the police. But I was also equally disappointed, this summer when I feel like the Democratic Party was really either slow or just kind of openly fine with lots of rioting that went on for the whole duration of the summer that I really thought caused more damage and destruction and had more lives damaged as a result. And I was kind of confused why, if the Republican Party was, pretty open to condemning the riots, why, the Democratic Party kind of all throughout the year was more or less okay with riots all over the country.
Sam, thanks a lot for the call. Susan, some key Democrats, including then-candidate Biden, had condemned the riots along the way. But Sam saying Democrats should have done more to speak up about those then. Could you compare and contrast for us?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are using the issue of the riots this summer or the protests this summer to draw comparisons in regard to what happened yesterday. And I think it's difficult sometimes to draw comparisons because of the reasons behind why people are protesting, who's involved in different protests and things like that. But there certainly were Democrats this summer who were speaking out against the violence that accompanied some of the protests that took place.
Sam, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go to Sean now in Milwaukee. Sean, hi.
Hi there. I was just going to chime in a little bit about Well, I know, of course we got to blame Trump. I mean, but we got to understand that narcissists and psychopaths are going to get into a position of power. Well, how do they get into a position of power? It's because they're for sure feeding misinformation, but the real deeper core problem is people obviously believing that misinformation. Well, why are they believing misinformation? Well, I'm guessing they probably get it from a very young age, and they're believing in things that aren't real from a very young age about how the world is, whether it be God, spirits, religion, blind faith, whatever. But of course, that's going to transition later into life with all this BS that we're doing right now. So anything else that we're talking about is swatting at flies, because we don't get to the root of what are making these kids grow up and believe in nonsense. We're missing the whole point altogether. Now, that's a point more towards the Democrats, I think, and then our education system is as well.
Sean, thanks for the call. Susan, Sean saying we need to get to the roots of why people believe misinformation in the first place.
Well, I mean, I think that I just had this conversation with a colleague, actually, is that we do have a lack of civic education in this country. And the idea that maybe if people had a better understanding of how government operates and what is and isn't happening or what is and isn't possible, that some of that misinformation would not, or there wouldn't be as much misinformation. But there's a lack, I would say, and I wish in our education system, both at the secondary and also in higher ed, that we did more to educate people about how government works and American history and things like that, because I think that's important.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Susan Johnson, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater, looking at yesterday's events at the Capitol and looking forward to the future. Susan, before we run out of time, I want to talk to you today about what we thought was going to be our big political issue going into yesterday. The Georgia Senate races, Democrats swept them, I think, against many expectations, with the vice president a Democrat. After Inauguration Day, Democrats can have a majority in the Senate. Can you talk about what that means?
It means that the Democrats are going to have the majority and they can control the agenda. I think some notable things that it means is that Vice President Biden's cabinet secretaries will be confirmed in a much more quick manner, which I think most people will really want to see happen, particularly that because we're in the middle of a global pandemic and things like that. So the Biden administration will make it, it will be easier for them to get up and running. As far as the president's legislative agenda, there will be at least these issues will be debated in the Senate. They may not pass in the form that President-elect Biden would like to see, but at least there'll be a debate on these issues. And then I think from the Democrats' perspective, they're very happy that they will be able to appoint judges to the federal bench, including should a Supreme Court vacancy come up.
Let's go back to our callers now. Mike is with us in Milwaukee. Mike, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
I just wanted to bring up, too, I think as far as a lot of the misinformation and things that are out there, ever since the Fairness Doctrine has been dismantled. I believe it was in the late 80s. You've been seeing a more and more of a division in the country. Democracy is built off of non-biased factual news. And between the Fairness Doctrine getting dismantled and all of the ways social media and people are misusing social media to consume information, I think has brought us to this point where somebody like Trump is able to gain a foothold by, you know, taking advantage and using that system. And, you know,
gotcha, Mike. Gotcha. Thanks for calling in. Susan, Mike pointing in at one of the big questions of our time. What has led to the polarization and the, I guess, violent polarization in this country? Mike, changing to changes in the media and social media.
Well, I think that certainly has a role to play. And many people have done research on this, and they found that people tend to go to particular sources for their news, and we're a country that's divided in that regard. And I'm old enough to remember when there were the three major news networks in PBS, and that's where you got your news. And we all got the same news. And, you know, the newspapers were much more robust. And what we see now is that people, there's so many different options that people pick and choose what they want. And we're not all consuming the same information. And if you go and look and see how what happened yesterday is being covered on different, even if you just think about the different cable networks, you're going to find different things. And if we're only watching what we believe, that does not bode well, and it hasn't bode well.
Susan, some people have expressed hope that this shocking scene yesterday will moderate some people, will lead some people to want to work together, maybe even in the halls of Congress in our last 30 seconds or so. Do you think there's a chance of that?
I think if there was a great chance of that, we would have seen the debate end yesterday and not have the objections to the Electoral College vote continue. So I'm not as optimistic as some others.
Susan, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us today.
Happy to do it.
Susan Johnson is an associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater. We talked with her about the latest politics in Washington, D.C., including calls to impeach or remove President Trump from office after yesterday's scene at the Capitol.